Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Don't go for second best, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal left it late, but Spurs didn't mess around. It's Monday, 4th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Vinicius Hundaraja.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Oh yeah, everybody, it's Monday, and what a marvellous Monday it is in the United Kingdom, Jim. You saw that sunshine outside, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Summer's back.
Believe it.
It's back, baby.
Yes.
What we really need is a 30-degree week in September when we're all mentally past summer. Mm-hmm. It just comes and says, nah, you're not fucking having autumn, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have this again.
Well, no, what it says is that all those foolish tourists that turned up in the summer, this one's for you, September people.
Yeah, and we don't want foreigners here.
It's not quite what I was going for.
Why'd you vote for Brexit then?
You were the one that voted for Brexit.
Fuck off.
Why'd you keep projecting on everybody
funny,
else?
Because it's funny.
Really?
Yeah, it's my highlight of the weekend.
Okay.
The
only way to deal with it, isn't it?
Yeah. All the kids are back at school as well, isn't it? So
that's right. Are they back?
They're back today.
Free slides,
how
finally.
About that? Well, they're back now because I've just closed the weekend. So if you had kids in schools before this, or pupils,
do you work for Ofsted?
I work for them all.
Yeah,
work for
did
everybody.
You do the concrete?
The whole lot. The concrete. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, I didn't. And that's a disgrace.
The kids who go back to school today will be safe in the knowledge that if they fall over in the playground at break, they will have £350 million extra for the NHS. To look after.
Come on. Them. Right, hurry up. Highlight of the weekend. Get on with it.
Oh, I'm going first, am I?
Yes.
All right, my highlight of the weekend is Brexit.
Right. Still.
Stop getting tricked by buses.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, my highlight of the weekend is. Have you noticed?
Being stuck in the Eurotunnel. Couldn't get across. Come on, what's your highlight?
It's the queues at passport control. Yeah,
having to pay extra.
I had a lovely bendy banana and nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah. My heart of the weekend is, have you seen what Erling Haaland said after the Man City Fulham game?
Yeah. He said Fulham were hard done by.
He's basically, not sure about that. He's basically.
With regards to that decision, he did.
Whose highlight of the weekend is it?
Sorry. I was just guessing what you said. Do you hear what he said?
He basically just said, yeah, that goal was offside.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them. I'd probably be fuming as well. It must be a horrible feeling. And it's like, I know everyone talks about what an amazing player he is, but he's kind of a pretty interesting character as well to
good
come
lad,
out with that
good,
stuff.
Good, well, he calls out injustice.
Yeah. And that is, if you read the whole quote, why he also goes on to say, I'm now going to start a vigilante justice group with Marcus Speller.
Yeah.
Big man, little man, great combination.
Great combination.
One young man, old man. Muscle.
I just thought it was quite interesting that he admitted that. And he was like, I score so many goals now.
Yeah.
you know, I feel bad if I get one that's not really fully fair. So good on him.
Good on him.
Jim? Yeah. My highlight of the week was just Jordan Pickford's afternoon.
Oh, my God.
You know, we've long been fans, you know, well outside the walls of this podcast, really just in this country, of how angry Jordan Pickford gets when he has to, like, do stuff. And that's really, really enjoyable. But him having a little chuckle to himself as the ball cannoned in off the back of his head, as if to say, what can I do about that? How much more Everton can things possibly get? And to then pull out what was like incredible save in about five parts at the end of that game to like secure that point for Everton. Just thought that was great. And no one's dislodging him from that England shirt, are they? It's not happening. No. It doesn't matter how well they play, he will step up to it.
Those saves at the end of the game, being at the time it was and how he did it, it was like one of those bonus scenes after the credits of a Marvel movie. Wasn't it? I was like, oh, fucking hell, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wow. Nice one. Please have stuck around for that.
Yeah.
There's the touch with his foot after he makes the first two saves to take it away from whoever the player is coming in was genius, really. Like, he obviously just does it to get the ball, or, you know, just because he sees the ball there. But yeah, that was huge.
Good instincts.
Yeah.
Just think he's a brilliant, brilliant character.
It's just chaos always.
I just enjoy him being involved.
Nothing's ever calm.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vish, your highlight of the weekend.
My highlight of the weekend is very football-y. It was too classy to be a 93rd minute equaliser. It came in the Brentford game. It was Brian Mbeumo's touch.
Beautiful.
To set himself up. And also the bit before it, where Nathan Collins does the most un-centre-back thing to do in 93 minutes, takes the ball down one touch and then curls it into Mbeumo, who then basically has a back heel touch all at the same time while rolling his defender.
Zidane-esque.
It was very Zidane-esque. It was just, a gorgeous, gorgeous goal. I think it was the best bit of football at the weekend.
Yeah, wow. I think so.
I say that for a good reason.
Yeah,
normally
we would have different highlights of the weekend, but that was mine as well. That's how good it was, I think. You know, just to prove it, we've rubber stamped that into the
we're men of the
time.
Ball, aren't we?
Men of the ball.
In that game as well, Neil Mopay was spotted in the stand talking to none other than Nathan Jones.
I saw that too.
He's plotting a comeback or something.
That's
revenge,
strange,
possibly.
It?
Who knows?
I mean, we know Mopay likes to be a bit of a shit house.
Yeah.
Maybe he's getting tips.
I don't know, Jim, but it was lovely to see old Jonesy, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe he's like a personal mentor to people now. Like one of those weird gurus that players sometimes have.
More on Brentford Bournemouth later for many listeners will know why.
Well, indeed.
Before we do that, this is how bad I'm in terms of a run of form of like predicting things at the moment. On Friday, I almost, just for a little bit of conversation, just see how you'd react, I almost called Rico Henry hard done by in terms of the England squad because he's been so good. And then look what he did. Merely me thinking about that has fucked him.
That's
how bad it's getting.
But you're one of these people who think the England squad is like 35 men deep, aren't you?
And it should be for everyone. Everyone should get a go.
Yeah. Like that. Do you remember years ago, was it the manager of Bolivia who picked like 98 players in a squad? And it's like, just come on, mate. You know, you've got that far.
We could all do this job. Who have you picked? Do you want to do the press release? It's every Bolivian man, actually. Yeah.
This is just your friends list on Facebook.
Yeah, I've been a bit busy this week.
Superb. Anyway.
All the people who've poked me on Facebook this week.
There we are. Poke. Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
You remember that. You're still poking all the time.
Loved a good poking. But let us move on to surely what is really Jim Campbell's highlight of the weekend and not Vish's. Arsenal 3, Manchester United 1. Late drama.
Very late.
At the Emirates. They scored in the 96th.
Such drama.
And the 101st minute.
Yeah.
Which is something we're just going to have to get used to. It's not the event it used to be. But still, there's something in it, Jim. But what a win for those Gunners.
Yeah, it was great. It was one of those weird afternoons where when you get a late win, you've got all the sort of stress and anxiety of thinking that it's gone, especially after that goal was disallowed, because I had no expectation of that being overturned. So you've started making peace with a win and you're annoyed about it, or with a defeat rather, and then it becomes a win and you've got all those conflicting like emotions and energies within your body and you feel like an absolute maniac. It was brilliant.
Yeah, but like Luke felt when he voted for Brexit and it came in.
There we go.
But it was an incredible game, Vish. And, you know, Manchester United, they thought they'd got a late winner themselves, but it was ruled out for offside. And Erik ten Hag disagreed with that. He said it wasn't offside, it was the wrong angle.
VAR will sort all this out. Yeah. That's a good thing about it.
But
did you feel it was the wrong angle?
No.
Let me draw the line.
Yeah.
The angle I've seen is different.
The angle I'm coming
dance,
from,
didn't he?
The angle I'm coming from is that I really want a Man United win. Yeah, so right. For me, it's the wrong angle. Yeah.
Have you tried looking at it through these red specs?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just offside, isn't it?
It is an absolute sickener when it's that close. But
I thought I generally thought it was
how
brilliant.
How sick did you feel, Vish, exactly? How sick did you feel?
Well, weirdly, because of what we knew at the time was going to be, not that sick. And I was a bit surprised that, they were calling it on air as a potential winner. Because I was like, we've probably got like 15 minutes left.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That proved to be the case. And not least because of that VAR break, to be fair. But, you know, I thought it was, I actually thought it was a bit of genius from Gabriel. It is a risk, but I think it's quite funny that because of the offside laws as they are now, you're getting a bit of a throwback where it's probably high value to stop and put your hand in the air or just stop altogether. Because he was, I mean, that was perfect. If he goes even just a single step to go and chase Garnacho.
And he's not catching him either.
No, he's not catching him.
That's probably why he said it, why he did it.
Yeah. Well,
end of the game, I'm not coming
for him. In fact, I'm running away from him.
I thought it worked out. Considering
I don't want to be in the camera shot when he scores. I can't be blamed.
Can't be my fault.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, all the noise around Gabriel, I thought he had a very good game, actually. And annoyingly, probably United's best performance out of the four they've put in at the start of the season, which is slightly annoying. There were from a Manchester United perspective, there were good parts. Although there is a bit of a contradiction in terms of like how United approach the game and then how they conceded that equaliser. Because if you rock up and you're trying to be stoic and you're trying to be defensively sound, maybe don't concede that early after you've scored.
Yeah,
because that kind of flies in the face of everything that you're supposed to be doing in the game throughout, and just to lose concentration at that moment was stupid. I don't think Arsenal were that good, but they're just quite slick now. Yeah. There's an ingrained slickness to them, and I thought actually, and I know a lot of people talk about Gabriel Jesus's goal scoring, but when he came on and the way he was like totally attuned to the game, I was looking at that thinking, God, we've not had that in a while. Someone who's he's just that extra bit of quality above everyone else.
Well, Garnacho that for Manchester.
But like, that's a lot to put on a young kid's shoulders.
But Garnacho's got a great, he's got great composure.
He took it brilliantly.
That was a brilliant piece of play, and he's very unlucky. The marginal decision that he had no idea about.
And Hoyland's part in that as well, with that little touch.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting.
He took it well. He did the same at Fulham we saw him. Last kick of the game. Quite a difficult chance, actually. Came at him really quick, just... No mucking about, just put it away.
He wants it, doesn't he? Like, and that's an attitude that not many United players have had over the years.
Yeah, but he's tenacious, there's no two ways about it.
Really, really interesting glimpse of what Hoyland has to offer as well, the physicality of him. It caused Gabriel a little bit of trouble. It was obviously ultimately fine, but I think against less physical defenders, he's going to absolutely clean up.
I thought it was a penalty.
I would have probably wanted it the other end, but I think they're in a bit of a tussle. And I think what's probably gone against Hoyland is that he's as involved in that tussle as Gabriel is. So I think that's probably what the thinking was.
It's one of those ones, isn't it, that if it's given, it's not going to be overturned.
Yeah.
Because there's no...
Well, like, what about the Havertz one, though?
Well, there was that one. I mean...
Can I come on?
Please.
Can I come in on that? Because I don't know what Mike Dean brings to this broadcast.
And I didn't think we would ever say that. No. Or ever think that.
And that's what annoys me, Jim. Yeah. Right? You know, who's the filler who used to do BT Sport? Peter Walton. Peter Walton. Not expecting anything there.
No.
Seems like quite a boring bloke. Delivers every week.
Cupboard. Nice chap by all accounts.
Very. I'm sure he's a lovely fellow.
They wouldn't even let him
lovely fellow, but exactly.
Room.
You can't sit with us. Yeah. Right. Like, that's how he is.
Yeah, exactly. But Jules isn't here anymore, so they don't get any protection now.
Right.
But the point is, Peter Walton is delivering exactly what I expect.
Mm.
Right. I didn't really know anything about him before he got on the telly. I didn't really know what type of ref he was.
Mm.
And he's in there just to do that boring kind of, here's the rule book. Guilty, get a new rule book. Right. Mm. Mike Dean is supposed to be box office, right? The way that Sky Sports introduced him on the banner at the bottom of the screen was literally like he was making his debut in some kind of Hollywood feature film.
Because
it said Peter Drury and Gary Neville with Mike Dean.
Featuring.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It was literally like that. And that Havertz penalty decision specifically, he goes, yeah, I would have given that. If I was a referee on the field, I'm giving that as a penalty all day long or whatever.
Well, you know why
15
he said
seconds
that?
Later, VAR's rights overturned that. You're on the telly now, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, you've got everything there to you to look at it in slow motion already. So why don't you just call the right thing?
But you know why he said that? Or certainly why I thought he said that? Because, you know, based on what he said last week about not wanting to send Anthony Taylor, who was a standing referee in this game, to the VAR screen because he was his mate. And, you know, he's already kind of revealed that, that personal friendship with him. So I wasn't surprised that he was like playing both sides.
Do you think Howard Webb just texted him saying, Mike, come on.
I think Howard Webb's probably texted him a lot saying, I don't want you doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought the Havertz thing was quite self-explanatory because I was very surprised it was overturned. And at the same time, when they were going through it, you're like, okay, you know, maybe he's put his leg out.
He did. He
He's put his leg out to Wan-Bissaka taking contact. He's also like generally one of the...
Yeah.
Well, not generally. I don't mean this in to like, you know, wash away like his poor start for Arsenal or his like indifferent start to Arsenal. But he does strike me as like one of the unluckiest men in the world.
Well, Jim, what do you reckon of Havertz's performance? I mean, there was that air kick in the first half.
Yeah, and also he gave the ball away, which led to Man United's goal as well, which was very frustrating. I think, you know, we need to learn the lessons of Granit Xhaka and so many other players in terms of not giving him too much of a hard time. Yet, you also have to, you know, there's a difference between how you want a player to be performing and how you want them to be received and how they actually are performing when you look at them. And he looks like he doesn't quite know the system yet. He isn't quite sure of where his teammates are going to be.
I have sympathy for him, Jim, because Arteta said during the week that that Arsenal played 36 different formations against Fulham.
It's a lot, isn't it? A lot to get your head around. And that was against Fulham. I'm sure, with respect, I'm sure there were more against Man United.
Yeah.
But
of course, they won the game against Manchester United.
Indeed, yeah. they sure did. But a perfect example is of where patience is required is his replacement, Fabio Vieira, who comes on and sets up a goal and has an impact in the same way he did a few weeks ago. I think Havertz might, I think he will probably come good over time. Right now, his performances, they're not really helping. They're not good enough. He like that air shot is a great example. Like, there's a few instances here and there, examples could be pointed to. He seems to move at the same pace all the time, but he's adapting his game, you know, and he's playing a role that he hasn't played for about 3 years because he was used in a different way at Chelsea. So the patience is absolutely imperative there.
What about the man who's next to him, Declan Rice?
Oh, he was just fantastic. He was such an absolute monster in the tackle. He's brilliant at controlling the ball by letting it roll up his body and down again, which is a brilliant skill. I love it when a player has a special move like that, like Ronaldinho's chest passes. Remember that? It's like you don't see many players.
I like it when you see a goal like, because obviously I've got no real skin in the game in this, but I like it when you see a winner like that scored, and it's someone like Declan Rice because he absolutely loves it.
Oh yeah,
he just loves it.
It was
like,
incredible.
It was the explosion of emotion. Maybe because he doesn't actually get that many goals, perhaps it just becomes much more of a big deal. But if someone just, you know, who scores 20 goals a season just goes around the keeper and casually slots it in, it's cool, but it's not the same kind of thing.
Do you think his celebration, you know, because there was suggestions that it was a foul on there was Johnny Evans in the lead up to that goal, and you think the VAR just went, yeah, but look at his little face.
Yeah, look at him. Hey, look at all those
faces.
And
that's what we want, Vish.
Yeah, that's what Mike Dean wants. He's mates with Declan. Yeah. He doesn't want to disappoint the man.
Did you think it was a foul on Johnny Evans? Lovely to see him back in there. Finishing the game with Harry Maguire.
Can I just add that question? To that question, are you happy with Man United finishing the game with Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans at centre back? Because I thought it was absolutely great.
Jim messed with me exactly this yesterday. Mm. Well, how do you feel about seeing it again with Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans? It's like lovely to see them. Is this a testimonial though?
Yeah, you know, yeah. And also, you know that kit they had on.
Quite a trendy kit. I don't like it.
No, I love it. I think it's brilliant.
Anyway, it's a trendy new kit that because Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans have been around for so long. I know Harry Maguire's not that old, but he seems old. It was basically like when you see like a dad and an uncle dressed on like a stag weekend.
Yeah,
they've got to wear the same outfit as all the youngins.
Yeah,
and they're at the airport, but they're standing a bit separate. Yeah. They felt a bit like that when I saw them.
It was a bit like they're waiting for the first opportunity to take them off.
Yeah, like when Theo Walcott was standing next to Roy Keane, it was like he'd been to see his girlfriend's dad for the first time. He was just really nervous about saying anything wrong.
Yeah, but Roy Keane had, like, I don't know whether it was then or not, but reports say that someone tried to headbutt him.
Brave.
Yeah. Which is obviously moronic.
Yeah. Idiotic.
But, like, who is this bloke? Does he not know who Roy Keane is? Yeah, do you know what I mean? And then Michael Richards apparently came in and sort of tried to...
Which, the guy's lucky there. I mean, if you're lucky that Micah Richards is restraining you,
and
you've done something very wrong.
Is there a duo? Don't mess with either.
Richards looks massive.
Oh, my goodness.
He's absolutely stacked.
They've got a proper tag team look about them.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
And it would. And Richards normally would just let Keane do the work and just be laughing.
Yeah.
If he thinks, no, I better get involved, it's like...
What are you saying? And you look at that punditry lineup and you go, if you're going to have to stick the nut on someone, you're going to have to walk, are you?
Walcott?
Yeah.
Obviously.
can't headbutt Walcott.
No, well, if you headbutted Theo Walcott, that'd be so much worse than someone trying to headbutt Roy Keane.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. But you wouldn't get near Walcott, you'd just run away.
Yeah.
So I don't want to headbutt Theo Walcott just to
people shouldn't be headbutting people at work.
Yeah.
Or anywhere really.
Yeah, or anywhere.
Yeah. There was a really interesting thing that happens in the stadium that I wanted to sort of draw all of your attention to, and I imagine it happens in every stadium as well. But whenever Anthony is on the ball, which admittedly wasn't that much, you sort of just hear a response in the crowd where all over people are going, "Wanker, dickhead, oh, I hate that bloke." It's like a sort of sweary version of the Dawn chorus. And it really is something to look out
they
for.
They used
if
that with Ronaldo as well, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
He was really unpopular for that. Yeah, Anthony didn't have a great game.
But Ronaldo, because obviously his personality, but also he was absolutely different class. Whereas Anthony, you know, has talent and all the rest of it, but it's not quite the same.
There's so certainly among Manchester United fans, there's an element of like, right, he's got the ball, what's he doing? Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, you kind of react in real time. You don't get the anticipation with Anthony, which I suppose is quite damning on what a player like that is supposed to give you. Mm-hmm. What Garnacho gave, you know, when he came on in the 85th minute or whatever.
Do you reckon that's why Sancho's so pissed off though, Vish?
Well, the
Sancho looks at Anthony and goes, fucking hell, this kid's only got one leg.
The Sancho thing's fascinating.
Well, not in the
it?
Squad. Like, and Ten Hag said on his performance in training, we didn't select him. You have to reach the level every day at Manchester United. And Sancho has since released a statement defending the way he's conducted himself in training.
It is absolutely fascinating. You wonder why Eric Ten Hag has taken a decision like that to make such a thing so public. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's just generally quite belt and braces management though, isn't it? You're asking about why a high profile player hasn't come in when he's fully fit and he's mentioned training, and obviously that plays a big part in it. And bear in mind, like, a lot of United's issues on the field are not necessarily related to attitude, but pertain to like how much work they haven't put in the past, and like, and Ten Hag has come in and demanded a certain level, and generally this kind of stuff happens and it's taken as it's intended, which is, look, buck your ideas up. I've said my bit in public. I've said a lot to you personally, hence why I've explained why you're not in the squad, or usually it's along those lines. But then for Sancho to come out and bring that statement shows that there is such a, I suppose, a difference of opinion there, in that Sancho didn't want, you know, Sancho thinks it's an unfair picture being painted of him as unprofessional, because fundamentally that's what Ten Hag is saying there. Yeah. He's not been professional. And for it to, this feels very like the kind of thing that happens in like February?
Yeah. Well, and when I saw that Sancho statement, I thought to myself, I don't think he'll be at the club for a huge amount of time.
No, and it's such a...
knocked quite a lot of money.
I can
off
imagine
what they'll get for him.
He'll pop up at Chelsea and sit on the bench for a bit and all the rest of it, you know, in January or in the summer. And we know what a great player he can be, but he's just not quite done it in England yet. But for this, it's a great shame.
It's not even in England. I think like United have had a long recent history of overpaying and... Mm-hmm.
No, but Sancho, when he was in Bundesliga, no, he was magnificent.
Sure. But what I'm saying is they've had a habit of overpaying and players underdelivering, in part because, you know, players at Old Trafford tend to stagnate. You know, Rashford has had to like come into his own over the last couple of years because of the work he's put in personally. You know, United have used to be a club and a setup which improves players, and they don't really. Martial is another great example. I've got a lot of time for Martial, but like, I realise I'm, you know, one of a small portion of Manchester.
What about Varane as well?
Maguire?
Yeah, but like, it happens, doesn't it? And so like, you know, we don't really know the ins and outs of the Sancho situation, but like, I think there's a body of work there to suggest that it isn't just unique to Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, fair one. Well, it was a good win for Arsenal nonetheless, and perhaps their... season has been ignited by that win,
a springboard, Jim.
Did you come out very quickly? People saying the atmosphere yesterday was incredible at the end.
It was really good. Yeah.
It felt like last season.
Actually, it didn't. It was strong at the start as well.
It feels like now they're picking up where they left off.
Yeah.
Before, you know, the slide at the end of last season, if you see what I mean by that. Are they the best team in North London at the moment, Luke Moore? Burnley 2, Nottingham...
You didn't even see my lips then, maybe.
I nearly said Nottingham Forest. We were talking about Forest and taking off. Burnley 2, Tottenham Hotspur 5.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been signs since old Big Ange started playing his Ange ball from the start of the season that Spurs look pretty good. And I wonder if this is vicious, might be something you want to come in on. I got a lot of tweets over the weekend about the Ewing theory aspect of Harry Kane moving on from Spurs, and now they're all suddenly look pretty good. Yeah, that Bill Simmons thing from The Ringer, which is worth looking up if you haven't seen it, to people listening. But I don't know if we expected Spurs to look so good doing it and start to do it so consistently. I know we're only four games in for them, and there's a long way to go. But I mean, some of the football they're playing away from home, and Burnley have been promoted, and so they're still finding their feet. And I know that company said that, you know, it's a really tough, it's a really tough challenge for them, obviously. But they were playing some incredible football as well, and it was just box ticked after box ticked after box ticked for Spurs. Maddison still starts, you know, still continues improving. Son, who I said last week looked like he was still finding his feet when it comes to being club captain, shouldering that big responsibility. I think it's kind of almost, it's in a way, it's perhaps easier to be the best supporting actor in a team because such a big personality, the England captain, all the rest of it, all the attention's on him really, and Son can kind of be free to do his own thing. Well, his role's changed now, but he was able to, you know, to kind of capitalise on some pretty amazing football and take some chances as well. So, look, they look brilliant, and they really do look good, and I think it'll be even more surprising when Ange gets fired in January. after five games without a win.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a great start for Spurs, and Postecoglou's got everybody going. I mean, with regards to, you know, Kane being there or not, it is down to the manager. You know, we saw him do this at Celtic, and people say, well, it's, you know, only Celtic in the Scottish League and so on. Well, actually, you know, sometimes...
You were quite big on that, weren't you?
I was huge on it. but it's a bit like when Rodgers went there and cleaned up. You know, like, there's a way of doing things. If you go to a team where you're expected to win, but you do it with such style and such conviction, I would suggest that that is probably going to translate if you go somewhere else.
Also, I think part of it is the personality of the man, isn't it?
Absolutely. And
genuinely, part of Spurs' history that can't be overlooked is how they've tended to do pretty well under, like, avuncular men.
Yeah.
Like Martin Yol, Harry Redknapp's got a bit of that about him. Mm-hmm. What do you think Jose Mourinho and Terry Antonio Venables. Conte are like with their nieces and nephews? I bet they're shit. I bet they're really distant. I bet they're rubbish. And just, I bet he's an amazing uncle.
Yeah. Even Pochettino's a bit like a cool uncle.
Exactly, yeah. And it seems to really work for them. And obviously that's in a slightly flippant point, but there's a harmony there, isn't there?
Yeah, Christian Gross, another one.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think they've also bought really well. I mean, Manos Solomon is a sort of really canny signing that's gone under the radar there.
I think,
obviously you would have watched him really closely at Fulham, and he had that period, didn't he, where he was scoring for fun and looked really dangerous cutting inside like that. Brennan Johnson as well, we've yet to see yet. I think, you know, it's not like they were... I mean, people joked about them being the Harry Kane team and stuff, but actually, whenever they were missing him, they tended to do all right. I think Son up front is... he's got to be pretty gutting for Richarlison, right? Because he scores a hat-trick, you think, oh, maybe you just play him there now. With him and Maddison.
Richarlison's only got himself to blame. I mean,
Richarlison's now the supporting striker to Son.
And he has to be.
Postecoglou said about Son's ability to play through the middle. He said it's one of the reasons why they didn't sign a striker.
And Brennan Johnson, you mentioned him there, is a great signing for them. Me and Andy talked about it on Saturday. Mm. Yeah, if they're going to be one of these teams with this dynamic kind of front three or four that rotates and all contributes, then Brennan Johnson's perfect for that.
Exactly. Well, that's it. I think they will be, if he really brings Brennan Johnson in there, and you've got a number of different forwards, as you say, and it could be quite fluid, they will be very difficult to predict how they're going to play. They're going to be difficult to mark. They're going to be, and it's going to be a conundrum. And we know where Maddison will play, and he's having a bloody lovely time.
But
the
thing with Maddison though is that he is a huge part of that unpredictability because he is so good. Not just with both feet, but with the outside of his boots. And it means his range of passing angles is massive.
Mm. He drifts all over the place. You see, on one of the goals against Burnley, you see him. He picks the ball up about 20 yards from goal.
Yeah.
And he's dynamically going forward and supporting the move and making it happen, basically.
Nice to have Ange call him Madders as well.
Yeah, or Madders.
He's the most Australian. But yeah. He's the anti-Arteta, isn't he, basically? He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you think about the two
he's so down to earth.
The two highest achieving managers in the Premier League last season were both fucking weird, right?
They're
both
weirdos. There were only about two managers that weren't weirdos, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary O'Neill, and I'm sure there's another one. Yeah. Anyhow.
Well, so this backs up your point. I don't know if you saw a couple of weeks ago, but they were... Pep Guardiola had mentioned in his press conference about Postecoglou and how, like, he was really happy for him and how, like, they were great mates and whatever, and they've talked about tactics and stuff like that because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about a lot of the similarities tactically between Postecoglou and Guardiola. And I think Guardiola was asked that and talked about this friendship with Postecoglou. Guardiola's response was put to Postecoglou and he went, I don't know where he's got that from. We've only spoken for 20 minutes.
Really?
Because you know the way
Madison... that is a mate for Pep, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, actually, yeah. We're talking about nothing but work. It was brilliant.
Yeah, for 20 minutes, and now he's my best friend. Yeah.
It's like if you could give a dog a treat, it loves you forever.
Yeah. Or
like just chat to Pep about football. It's like, oh, yes!
Like when Alan Partridge meets Dan. I'm confident he's my best friend.
But the Postecoglou thing with his personality, I think it's really clear to see the footballing side to that because you look at the way... Let's talk about the front six, as it were, so like from the defence onwards. Maybe you can include the fullbacks in this. I feel like from a football perspective, they're all scratching their itches, respectively. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all getting ball time. They're all being in places that they want to, you know, they want to be in. They're playing the kind of football that they want to play.
Even the manager's like, not telling them they're shit.
Like, even like Pape Matessar is a great one in terms of like, that's just Postecoglou's ability to come in with no pretense, you know, no prejudice towards like how players were. Everyone starts from exactly the same level. Like, you know, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, I know, you know, I know you're an international player. I know you've played in this league for a long time. I'm going to start on the bench, mate, because I do think this is the best balanced midfield for us.
Well, that's the problem, Vish. Like, you're only four games in, so there's a long way to go, of course.
Just to say, by the way, if, and if he'd have fancied going to Fulham, then Polina would have been off.
Yeah, right.
So he clearly wants to stay.
So he's done, he's friend of Fulham forever, right? Presumably he gets friend statue, will he, for that?
Till January.
Yeah, I was about to say, he would be very welcome when we do need him to fill that gap.
But the two shortcomings I felt like at the start of the season, having watched Spurs a couple of times, I was at the Man United game, was that, can they find a way to score goals, right? And obviously they're starting to show that they can in a way that's maybe not how they used to do it because there's no Kane there. And the other one was, what about the bench? Because if you look at the bench now, actually, Højbjerg, his time's really done there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to improve in player. He's a big drop-off from who plays in that position ahead of him. Perisic has been a bust, really, since he's been there. Richarlison, we've already talked about. There's not a huge amount. I mean, Emerson Royale, okay, fine, he came on against Burnley. He's capable and he's okay in flashes. I mean, you know, if they lose one of Romero or Van de Ven, who started his career at Spurs pretty well, they suffer as well because Davinson Sanchez is a poor player now. And Romero's really important for them because he starts off a lot of their attacks and he's kind of a really good ball-playing defender. So the only kind of thing you would say is that when it starts getting down the thick end of the season, I know they're not in Europe or anything, but when they really go down the stretch, have they got enough in depth to really push it? But five teams in the Champions League this season, so all they've got to do is aim for the top five, and they're certainly more than capable of that at the moment.
It's probably more at left-back as well, because Destiny Udogie has been...
He's been great.
Brilliant. Like, do you remember Spinazzola during the Euros?
Yeah.
Like, those kind of levels,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Just the way he gets so far forward and clearly so comfortable playing that far forward. He'd be the big one for me, I think, because it feels like he gives them extra dimension.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I tell you what, Spurs fans must be loving it. And it's nice to talk about them in with a bit of praise, Jim, because last season it wasn't enjoyable for everybody.
I don't mind either way, really. Okay. I'll talk about them, whatever.
You go and see them quite a lot.
I do.
Right. You're not mentioning the stadium anymore, are you?
It is a lovely stadium. They were at Turf Moor at the weekend, which is not relevant, mate. Which is also a historic story stadium in the Lancashire area that you could do well to give a bit of respect to, actually.
Well,
after that performance from Man United.
Turf Moor or Tough Moor?
Exactly.
I don't know which one we've got.
Tough Moor, you're looking at him.
There we go. Let's go for a break.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He's on! Get in! Get in! He's miles on! Come on! Come on! What a bit of play by Rasmus and Bruno! He's fucking miles on! Oh, get out! Cook a cat!
Thanks to Damien for choosing today's clip. You can choose the clip for next Monday's show. Just sign up to the Football Ramble Patreon using the link in the show description.
There's nothing like playing a character and then doing a bit from a show about 25 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
For your young YouTube audience.
Yeah, he, for those who don't know, that was Mark Goldbridge. He was also a content creator in the football space, as I think we're supposed to say these days.
Yeah, yeah.
But crucially, unlike us, is a cunt. Right, it's time for Betfair's Ramble Acca. Every weekend, we're placing a £10 acca on four match odds 90 markets across the Premier League, where any winning bets are paid out at 90 minutes. So you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet. And there was some stoppage time drama this weekend, let me tell you. Game one, Marcus picked Crystal Palace to beat Wolves, and Crystal Palace won. Marcus has got 100% record in this game far this season. And part of the reason for that, man, Jim, is because he's a coward. Let's make it absolutely clear.
I
offered up the Arsenal Man United game at the weekend. You could not rule yourself out quickly enough.
I said, let's leave this to Jim because I think he'll get it right, and he did.
Your record speaks for itself.
Thanks.
That's four out of four.
I'm going the whole season.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. That would be incredible.
Well, I've started well, haven't I?
You have, yeah.
You've got no European football this year. So you stay quite fresh. yeah. Game number two, Andy picked Spurs to beat Burnley. Spurs fans were very unhappy with that given Andy's recent record, but Spurs won handsomely, as we've just said. Game number three, the aforementioned Arsenal versus Man United. Jim called Arsenal to win. They did indeed win. Betfair put on what they called 90-minute bus for this game, where a selection of Man United and Arsenal fans left at 90 minutes, jumped on the bus and went to the pub with Dimitar Berbatov. Sounded quite good. Yeah. I've actually spent some time with Dimitar Berbatov, and he's a lovely man.
Very cool as well, isn't he?
Very cool. And completely smooth, like a dolphin. Mm. Completely shaved.
You know, he learned English by watching the Godfather movies.
There we go.
I did not know that.
Well, he's in the third one.
he is. Imagine if you picked Fargo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Man United fans would presumably be very happy about being in the pub with Dimitar Berbatov, just reminiscing about old times instead of watching what happened there. The fourth game, so we're three out of three here now.
Yeah.
Mm. Could have been all to play for in that fourth game. Mm-hmm. I picked Brentford to beat Bournemouth.
Mm. Very brave.
It was brave, wasn't it? I thought so. Given that I think Bournemouth have never taken a single point in, I think, nine games at Brentford before.
Well, they have now.
Brian and Bremo scored a stoppage time equaliser for Brentford. It finished 2-2. But thanks to Betfair's Match Odds 90 market, 2,000 people who backed Bournemouth to win got their bet paid out in full. But that was the game, sadly, that let us down. I am on a terrible run. I only had to, as I said at the top of the show, I only had to think about Rico Henry for him to throw one in his own net.
It was very close, though.
Yeah, it was close, but it's not enough, is it?
But you thought about Rico Henry,
and then it ruined it. As we said before as well, Arsenal scored twice in stoppage time, which meant 3,500 Betfair customers who backed a draw also got their bets paid out in full. And finally, for now, Betfair are donating £10 to charity for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this season. How many were there this weekend, fellas?
Seven.
As many as seven. So that's another £70 secured for a great cause, which is Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, you get the winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes, despite what happens in stoppage time. Marcus, it's back to you.
There were no stoppage time goals at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea lost 1-0 to Nottingham Forest.
A goal for all of football. Let's enjoy that. Mm. Let's enjoy it.
I tell you what, Forest were excellent. I messaged a friend of mine saying that he goes to watch Forest home and away, and I said, you know, a bit unlucky against Arsenal, although I think to get something out of the game is quite difficult. Unlucky against Manchester United, I said, yeah, today's your day. Yeah. And I was bloody right, Jim.
You are on such good form.
Yeah. You're just going to have to take my word for that one. Yeah. I could show you the WhatsApps, but like Boris Johnson, I seem to have lost my phone.
it's in the bottom of the North Sea.
Exactly.
Chelsea forgot about the games, didn't they? Didn't forget about the players, did they? All about the players, weren't they? All about Sarr and all those players.
Yeah.
Forgot about the games, didn't they, Marcus? They forgot about the fucking games.
Got to put those in an order.
Oh, can we still stay up if we just buy all the players? No, you can't. You need points and you've got none.
Didn't forget about the window.
All
about the window.
Do you think they lined up before kickoff and Todd Bowley's like, why don't we take some of their players as well?
Yeah, can we not play more of the players that I signed? No, it is very much 11 aside. Yeah.
Okay. With them blue shirts.
But can we not have an offensive team and a defensive team to bring them on?
They were booed off, weren't they? But I wonder if they were saying, boo are you?
Yeah. Oh, dear. But I want to start with Forest, though, because they've had a tough start to the season. Away games at Arsenal, Manchester United, and of course Chelsea. As we said, Arsenal, I thought they played it quite well. They nearly got something out of it at the end. But I think all in all, probably Arsenal were the better side. And Arsenal are a better side, and it's away from home. Against Manchester United, roared into that 2-0 lead.
Mm-hmm.
Would it lose 3-2 and a man sent off? Some thought that was quite controversial. But still, they were in the game right at the end, despite losing 3-2. They go to Chelsea, and obviously Chelsea, at the moment, you would say aren't as good as Arsenal. You wouldn't say as good as Manchester United, perhaps. But the way they equip themselves, they are devastating on the break. Awoniyi looks like, it's Mikel Antonio stuff, Luke Moore. You know,
it is.
You've been full of praise.
He's the only one challenging Mikel Antonio for the official title of best lone striker in the Premier League.
There you go. Antony Elanga has been a great signing.
Yeah.
But they know what they're doing. And, okay, a little bit of luck there when Jackson misses that chance late on.
That has nothing to do with luck.
but the way Forest equip themselves, you know, Cooper's got them going. He knows how to set up against these big teams. And when you're that devastating, you've got that pace and quality on the break, you've always got a chance.
Here's the thing. I totally agree with you. And I would just add to that we talked about Steve Cooper around this time last season, where we said the interesting thing about Cooper is he's never found his ceiling as a manager. Mm-hmm. He's always been successful. And I get the feeling with the start of the season that Forest have had, would you have said last year, if this was the fixtures they had got, because I mean they're sitting in the top 10, right? They've won a couple of games, and you know, they found it tough at the start of last season. Mm-hmm. Would they have gone to Stamford Bridge and got anything? They probably would have been on one. I think they were on it from memory. They might have been in the middle of one of those runs where it was like, oh, they're doing okay, but they can't get a fucking point. And they go and win, which shows a massive improvement. So that's really encouraging for them as well. I would also say that...
And they're scoring a few goals as well. I know it was only one, but one was enough. And that was... for a side, when you're in the... You finished, obviously, in a relegation scrap last season. It's the scoring the goals which is the problem.
Well, they only scored 38 goals last season.
There you go.
And they've already got 6-4.
That's
and
right,
They've played big teams, and they just look a bit more fluid up front. And it's not all on Morgan Gibbs-White, as it was last season.
Also, at the Emirates, they didn't play Awoniyi until later. He came on as a sub, and he made a huge, huge difference. So there's a plan A and a plan B, and you know, various plans are tailored to various fixtures in a way that perhaps they maybe didn't have so much last season.
Yeah, well, I was concerned with the Brennan Johnson chat. You know, obviously he's been pretty good. I'm not concerned for them anymore.
No. Can I just flip back over to the Chelsea side of things as well?
I was enjoying that.
Well, you might enjoy this.
Okay.
Wait and see. What Chelsea could have done is they could have kept that £1 billion, kept all the players they had before, and given every single person in the stadium at the weekend £2,500 each.
Yeah, yeah.
They would have been booing them, would they?
They could have built another Millennium Dome.
Great reference. It sounds like it's not 90s because it was built for not the 90s, but it was built in the 90s, famously.
Yeah.
So it still counts as a
Marcus Burr
reference.
Do you get it, Jim? Do you get it?
Yeah. I do.
Great, isn't it? Do you remember the Wimbledon?
You're a man of the laugh. Do you get it?
The Wimbledon roof off the end? Yeah.
What a bloody waste of money, eh?
Yeah.
I think we should
bringing it back to Stamford Bridge.
I know.
Well played.
I mean, look, it's 1,000 million.
Yeah.
They could have given everyone £2,500.
I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah, well, that's how maths work.
Instead, they've actually, you know, taken away the subsidised bus route. And
Can't afford it. I mean, it is...
Do you reckon that's what it is? I reckon that's what it is. They're going, listen, you're saying you can't afford the away games. Well, you're not fucking sticking around for this shit, are you? So you there's nothing in you for the, home game.
We're trying to dissuade you here. Yeah. We're actually trying to do you a favour. But, I mean, yes, it's quite concerning for Chelsea. I think with all those, again, you look at all those players and you think, well, how's he going to get that formula? But you could say the same about Steve Cooper, could you not? Loads of players and all the rest of it. I suppose there's more obvious starters, but I love the way he's suddenly brought in Ola Aina. Back in the Premier League, played for Fulham not that long ago.
Came through the academy at Chelsea.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Don't need him anymore.
Using their tools against them. He was brilliant and nullified Sterling.
Speaking of using tools, did you see the highlight? This should have been my highlight of the weekend. Did you see Steve Cooper had someone else to scratch his ear in the post-match interview?
That is
so funny.
Stunning video.
Red sleeved. Yeah. He's wearing blue and he's just talking away. It's a red sleeve comes up, just scratches his ear.
And a hand that looks like it's too big to be one of his. A big-handed man. Is scratching very Steve Cooper's ears on Cooper's, you know, demand.
It was actually Nicholas Jackson. He asked him to scratch his nose.
He may be getting a bit too big for his boots. Is this a worrying sign? If he's got a dedicated ear scratcher.
I think if he's got a scratcher that scratches all parts of the body for him, that's fine.
Well, it depends.
If he's got a different scratcher for every part of the body, I think that's too much.
That would be too much, I think.
Do you think, like Yogi Love, do you think he smells the other guy's hands?
Maybe he does, yeah. But if you've got the same guy doing nose, ear, chin, nuts, that's not as bad as having one separate one.
Todd Bowley has 100% got all of those.
Oh, big time.
If you haven't seen this video, then you'll wonder what on earth we're going
on. I saw it on X, Marcus. Yeah. Some good stuff on there.
Great content on X.
I saw a great tweet on X, confusingly.
Post on X.
Where someone said that Eric Ten Hag has been using Harry Maguire as an escape goat.
It works. It's leg corn. Yeah.
Speaking of other funny things on X, I don't know if you saw this, but it was reported in the Telegraph, I think, that Chelsea weren't considering a move for James Maddison because Maddison's 26 and they're going for under 25. So that's their business plan in terms of resale and building it up, which led to American journalist Tosin Mukinde referring to them as Leo DiCaprio FC.
Very nice.
The thing is, though, talking about the sell on value, they don't sell anybody. Yeah. Well, they loan them.
No, they've sold a lot of players. And actually, this brings me to a thing I think is quite interesting about, you know, where there might actually be further trouble ahead for Pochettino in terms of trying to settle his team. He started Conor Gallagher in, I don't know if he started in every game, but he certainly featured in every game. Yeah. And he clearly likes him and he rates him a lot. They were fairly openly trying to flog him on deadline day. Ian Martson ended up staying. He was on loan at Burnley last year, did really well there. They had agreed to sell him there and he ended up choosing not to go. So it's kind of interesting because it makes me wonder, is Pochettino going to get first teamers sold out from under him if it's just what suits this strange business model? Mm. And like, how helpful is that for
him? That's a good observation.
That's spot on, because if he's like looking at these players and being like, and has about this time in the season developed a hierarchy of like ones he trusts, and as you say, they're like, we're just going to pull that piece out. Yeah.
Before we move on, is there chat? And I know it's easy to say off the back of a home defeat for them, but should there be chat that Mauricio Pochettino is a little bit overrated as a coach and he's actually quite fortunate to get this job?
Well, you do wonder because it's since Spurs, obviously at PSG, you know, won.
It's a bit of an outlier, that.
It is a bit of an outlier. Well,
this is also a bit of an outlier, is it not?
Well, yeah, maybe.
When was the last time? Certainly, I can't remember a club going about their business like this. This is chaotic. This is borderline unhinged is what it is.
I think it is too, and I don't think it gets said enough. And I said it on Saturday. I said, you talk about it and you look at the mainstream media and you feel like Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day. Mm. No one's listening. Yeah. Everyone just thinks it's fine. Mm. And it probably isn't fine.
What about Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park?
He's kind of... Vish, what do you think of Dr. Malcolm in Jurassic Park?
I think he's a fucking wanker.
Outrageous.
Can we use that?
But I think he would say to Todd Bowley, you know, the old line, you thought about whether you could sign all these players, you didn't think about whether you should.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I don't think Todd Bowley spent much time thinking about what he should be doing.
Yeah.
I think Todd Bowley should get his executive assistant to block out a couple of hours every Monday morning to seriously and deeply think himself about what he should be doing this week.
Right, okay.
But do you not think, like, so when you looked at that starting team, and like with all due respect to Forrest, Chelsea at home, they've got an abundance of attacking talent. They've basically played two attacking players in the 11. And then you look at the bench as well, and it's, you know, obviously Cole Palmer, they just signed Mudryk, Madueke, players who loads of other teams are after, and it feels like the only reason Chelsea have them is because they're highly rated, not necessarily because they're highly rated by a scouting department that has, you know, done the work and seen what the, you know, what the team needs, what the squad needs, what even the first 11 needs. And that kind of speaks to already a bit of friction there. It doesn't necessarily need to be public or particularly overt, but evidently Pochettino wants to play a certain way. They just want to sign players at a certain age who are highly rated, who then would make the money in the future potentially, or have like high resale value or whatever. Who won't necessarily devalue. And it just,
well, in theory,
but Chelsea, doesn't work. But like it really just doesn't work.
But Chelsea, this resale value.
That's something I've put upon them.
Risky bet, that, isn't it?
Well, it's a risky bet, but also a club like Chelsea shouldn't be looking at that too much.
Well, but the thing is,
Chelsea, you want the finish. You want players to. Do you know Real Madrid have not signed Jude Bellingham for his resale value? Do you know what I mean?
Like, but this is what Todd Bowley's appears to be, you know, approaching football ownership as, and essentially making Chelsea sort of puppy farm where he can keep getting value out of it.
Here's what I think, and we touched on the idea of how they're going about it and how it doesn't look great for them in terms of a model. But also, you know, to me, and I'm happy to stick my neck out here, and if, you know, people want to laugh at me coming into the season, they can. Won't be the first time. They've got no chance of success. There's no way. Watch the first four games of their season. Yeah. There's no way they can have a blend like that with all the players they've signed, all the upheaval they've had, all the things that are going on. I mean, we can talk about Pochettino being a bit overrated and maybe being fortunate to be in that job because it's a high-profile job with high expectations for a manager who's never really shown consistency in winning trophies, for example. Mm-hmm. If you look at the appointees that Chelsea have made in recent decades, it's basically been managers that win stuff. That's the reason I'm saying that. But on the other hand, you've got to think, well, what manager could succeed in that environment? What player could succeed in that environment? I don't think it's got much chance at all of success when you look at the level that all the other teams are at with some kind of coherence about how they go about things. Ange Postecoglou didn't come in at Spurs, and I know we're only four games in, but he didn't come in and go, what we need is 42 new players. He said, okay, here's what I've got, I'm going to get on with it. And it's impossible for Pochettino.
We're going
to
sell our
that.
Best player, and we're still going to do
be
well.
Better than you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But well done, Forrest, though.
Yes. Well done, Forrest, absolutely.
It was quite damning how well Ryan Yates bossed that midfield, considering all of Chelsea spending as well.
I think Forrest, they're in for a good season. When will Chelsea come in for Evan Ferguson?
Yes.
120 million in January?
Yeah. Bowley be on the phone right now. You can't keep doing this. Yeah.
He looks
window
so good.
Is closed.
We
he
go to Brighton
so
3, Newcastle United 1. Evan Ferguson is only the fourth player to score a Premier League hat-trick, 18 or younger, Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler, and the late Chris Bart-Williams.
Great for him to get a mention. Yeah. Speaking of Forrest.
Absolutely.
Legend.
Absolutely.
It's worth pointing out, the big takeaway for me from this game was that since we've rebranded them the Piff Posse, Newcastle United, the formerly known as Newcastle United, the artist formerly known as Newcastle United, haven't won a game.
Unlucky.
Tough at the top, isn't it?
Three defeats in a row. They only had five all season.
Last season.
I mean, you can explain it away with Manchester City crazy into the game at Liverpool, and they were very good for, you know,
single goal margins in both those as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And also
you can explain it away by saying that they lost the game they lost.
Of course, but I think there's more to it than that, Jim.
Yeah, they also had moments in those, certainly in the Liverpool game, where they should have killed it off. That's their own thing. Although I thought this performance at Brighton was probably their worst in a while, actually.
Yeah, so
they looked properly destroying it.
This one was not good. But Brighton
didn't even have to be that good.
Yeah, they looked completely ordinary.
Yeah, I mean, Ferguson's hat-trick, I mean, the second one was, you know, a lovely turn and finish. The third one heavily deflected, of course, but still, the goals.
They're trying to take them away.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I'm saying, though, that...
What's your problem with Evan Ferguson?
Nothing at all.
I think we all know what his problem with Evan Ferguson is.
You won't be complaining when the FA come calling.
Apparently, he could have represented England. He never had any intentions to switch nations.
Or as Marcus called him on the WhatsApp group this week, scum.
That's not true.
I can read the headline if you want. Evan Ferguson is eligible to switch international allegiance to England, but the player has no interest in will represent Republic of Ireland. Response from Marcus Speller, scum.
That was about something else.
Oh, was it? Okay, sorry, mate.
Do you remember when you warmed to Declan Rice and Jack Grealish?
They saw the error of their ways, didn't they?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, with Ferguson, I don't think anybody in England ever knew this and would ever think he flipping well would. I mean, he's born in Ireland, he's very much from there. It would be to go the other way.
Natural successor of Harry Kane, though.
Because Haaland won't do it, will he?
No.
No, in Leeds.
Bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think anybody would have. He said his dad would have never let him back in the country. Yeah. That's
fair. Surely he's fully grown already.
Oh, yeah.
The physical attributes he has are absolutely incredible.
Yeah. I feel like he's filled out recently in the last year or so. Oh, obviously, he's at an age, actually, where you do...
You sound like his uncle, then.
Yeah.
Seen him at a wedding. You filled out.
The great thing for Ferguson and Brighton is he's so good. It's a bit like with... it's very different, when you have somebody like, take Wayne Rooney at Everton. It was always going to be the case that a bigger club were going to come in.
Yeah.
Even though Everton are a massive club and they weren't in the... you know, the state situation that they are now. It was always going to be the case that another club would come in, here we go, European football, blah, 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 with Ferguson. Now, that may well happen, but with Ferguson and Brighton, he could stay there because it's a lovely old time at Brighton at the moment. It's a club that's bouncing, they've got European football, and they've got quite a glamorous group as well in the Europa League, which I think is a good thing, actually.
Yeah. Mm.
And I really think that... he's in a great place right there.
I don't disagree with any of that, but I would say that we probably have to tilt the talk more towards Brighton's favour in that regard, because a club will come in and bid a lot of money for him, because that's what happens when you're at Brighton. But the difference is, it'll be on Brighton's terms, won't it?
Yeah,
it's their model. It's a little bit different from young talent being plucked or exciting talent being plucked by other clubs.
Yeah,
Brighton are pretty much in control of that situation.
Well, does that not depend on when they finish? If they finish outside a European place, that gets a bit harder, doesn't it?
I don't think it changes anything, because his ceiling is clearly so high, and naturally he's going to have so many people in for him. Like, genuinely, yeah, Chelsea might even test the waters in January because they're... you know, maniacs. But
well, if he keeps playing like he's playing, then he'll earn his big move to Saudi Arabia.
That second goal was so good, I thought it was a keeper fuck up. The first I think that's gone under him. Yeah. But he starts it. He basically, it's a striker's finish from 25 yards.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's an element of training goal in that. It was such a good move. Yeah,
yeah. No,
Billy Gilmore. I think it's really cool seeing him grow into it, because I think people expected a lot from him quite early on, and you forget how young he is. And
you can forget about Gilmore, obviously, because you know, got talent.
Another Chelsea Academy prospect.
Yeah. Another one. So, yeah, there he goes.
He didn't exactly thrive at Norwich, and it's nice to see him, you know, actually look a bit settled and be the player we all hoped he would be.
Yeah, well, Norwich was actually quite set him back a little bit, because the season before, Norwich had Oliver Skip on loan, and he was brilliant. And then they tried to get, well, they got Gilmore in essentially to replace Skip, because Skip was now more involved with the first team at Spurs. And Norwich fans by the end were genuinely sick of him. Well, like, this guy's he's not as good as people say he is. Yeah.
And you look at that Brighton front six. You know, Pascal Gross, we talk about a lot, brilliant player. He's been such a great servant for them. Came in for a snip, really,
and called up to the German national team now.
Yeah, which is great. His age is amazing. Solly March, who we talked about as well, has been brilliant. Matoma off the left has been great. João Pedro played well, and then Evan Ferguson that you've talked about. Lovely to see a couple of Marcus's beautiful boys come off the bench as well. Adam Lallana and James Milner.
Both
picked up, I think, quite cynical bookings as well, which is nice to see. And they've got Ansu Fati to come in, which is incredible to think, really.
Yeah,
it's great times for Brighton.
Could he derail it?
He could. I don't think so, unless someone's around when his hamstring snaps and they get slapped in the face by it.
But it's a great win for Brighton, and another loss for the Piff Posse. Gentlemen, I'd like to finish by talking about Major League Soccer, or the Major League Soccer, as Phil Neville thinks it's called.
Use his proper name.
Fizzo.
The Fizzer.
The Fizzinho.
Has he been given the nod for the Canadian national team yet?
Not yet.
Hasn't happened yet, has it?
He must be on manoeuvres, surely.
What's the matter with them?
He probably doesn't know how to check his voicemail.
When you get an opportunity like that and you've got a vacancy in the job, why would you move so slowly?
Luke, I think they can't afford him.
Probably, yeah.
High price.
That's probably, yeah.
But anyway.
It needs to be a high price given the state of the Canadian FA, I think.
Indeed. Los Angeles Football Club hosted Inter Miami on the weekend. Inter Miami won 3-1. No goals for Messi, but 2 assists. It was all about the guest list for that game.
Yeah.
Now, it's not surprising, is it? In Los Angeles, Messi comes to town and the tickets are £350,000 each or whatever it was.
But I think we've all got access here to the guest list. People listening may not have seen it, so I think we should go around the table and you each get to pick the person you'd like to be sat next to.
When you say we've got access...
Well, you can see it on Twitter. A lot of people wouldn't have seen it, would they?
No, well, if everyone...
It doesn't matter.
Right.
We're all going to pick someone from the guest list that we'd like to have been sat next to for that game.
Right.
And we're going to start with me.
Okay.
Liam Gallagher. Marcus, who are you going
to
pick?
Can't come back to me. I'll go Mario Lopez.
Yeah, AC Slater.
AC Slater.
Why are you picking Mario Lopez?
Why isn't he the first person everyone's picking? Yeah. AC Slater.
Actually, though, Jim, and you know, as a sleep deprived man, this is maybe not a good choice. He still looks about 21.
Yeah, he does.
You sit next to him, I'm going to look like an old fogey.
Would you be interested in sitting next to the entirety of Rage Against the Machine, who for some reason aren't mentioned individually on this list?
Can I pick a table, actually? Because I would quite like to sit with Gerard Butler, Cypress Hill and Prince Harry.
Yeah.
He's not going for Ed Norton.
Hopefully he'll be on the table next to me.
I go for old Tom Holland, and every time I spoke to him, I call him Tom Netherlands. And it would really amuse me.
What a waste of that situation.
Oh, we're both
asking for a tenner or something. Why?
We're both born in Kingston upon Thames, mate. That's the kind of vibe we've got down there.
We're all a bit old for Leonardo DiCaprio, who is listed on the list as Leonard DiCaprio.
Or Owen Wilson would be nice, just to hear him, because apparently Messi went over to him and his family and did some autographs, and just to hear him go, "Shower, you're the guy." Yeah. That would be quite nice.
Nick Hewer? That sounds like Nick Hewer.
No, Nick Hewer should have been there.
Yeah, what would he have said?
He said, "Oh, Messi, welcome to Countdown." I've always got to go back to the base.
The only difference between Owen Wilson and Nick Hewer is
American
that Nick Hewer says Countdown.
Yeah.
I don't. There are a lot of people on that list I don't want to be anywhere near.
Such as?
Liam Gallagher.
Oh, okay. He'd be great, LG, wouldn't he?
Would be great.
Yeah.
The time you had might not be.
That's probably a fair call.
Gerard Butler, a bit much. Ed Norton, a bit much.
I think Gerard Butler.
Jason Sudeikis would be nice.
Gerard Butler's very lucky to be there, in my view.
Yeah, I think so.
He's never done anything. I'd love the idea of Vish sitting next to Liam Gallagher and then Liam Gallagher tweeting about it afterwards saying, "Fucking geezer next to me, he's just fucking moved."
Yeah.
Get fucked.
Thank goodness all he was going on about was cricket.
Live forever.
Kept talking about AC Slater. There we are. Well, get yourself down to LAFC if you've got the money and the fame, of course. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back on Wednesday, of course. Do follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. It is called I Don't Want to Disrespect the Musketeer.
No, and you can, just for people who do like using X, just to let you know, thanks to the Musketeer, if you want to pay a bit of money, you can be officially verified now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you can say anything you want, and no one can stop
you. If you've got money, Jim, any door will open for you.
You can monetize your engagement now, can't you?
Yeah.
Which I think that's going to lead to some really brilliant opinions. I can't wait to see how much that improves the quality of the content.
There's a lot of good stuff on X. A
lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elon. And we'll see you on Wednesday.
Call him the Musketeer.
He is the Musketeer.
Musky bastard.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.